Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Nikaqde masno dukhe dil ka marham nikaqde masno dukhe dil ka marham ye farma gaye hai rasool e mukarram ye farma gaye hai rasool e mukarram ye shaadi hai beshak mohabbat ka zina ye shaadi hai beshak mohabbat ka زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک یہ نعمت خدا کی طہارت کا پرچم طہارت کا پرچم فضاؤں میں عقد نکاح جلوہ گر ہے فضاؤں میں عقد نکاح جلوہ گر ہے مبارک 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 ہو پہ ہم مبارک 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 ہو پہ ہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم گلستاں پیشادہ بھی سایہ فگن ہے
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba to the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah to this program, The Bliss of Marriage. The date is the 23rd Jumad al-Ula, 1443, corresponding to the date 28th December 2021. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia. Mufti Sap, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Azaid Khan.
We urge our listeners to send their queries in to the number +27 874 786 3132, or if you're in our country in South Africa, 084 786 3132. Mufti Sahab, a listener says a woman's husband passed away in another country while on holiday. She's alone. How will she come back without a mahram?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today is the 23rd of Jumad al-Ula 1443. We'll welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. When a husband passes away, then there is an iddat. Almighty Allah states, Arba'ata ashhuri wa ashra, and that is 130 days, 130 days from time of death. So whether you are local or whether passes away overseas, that from that time, from time of death, you start counting the iddat. So the lady, the widow, cannot wear new clothes, cannot wear jewelry and apply mehndi and henna and all this here. Now let's say that the couple went to Dubai or India, or they were there in London, New York, and the husband passed away. Now what will be the issue? So if far as possible, if the mahram of that lady, her brother, her son, her father, so if they can go there, then they must go and come back with her. But we know nowadays thousands of flights are cancelled in different parts of the world and so forth. And because of the pandemic and so forth, sometimes to travel is not so easy because of lockdown and other situations and so on, so forth. clouds. So in a case like that, she must just come back immediately, and Allah Jalla Wala knows she must make tawbah istighfar for that transgression, and al-zarurat tubihul mahzurat, meaning that when there is absolute need and necessity, then that which is normally not permissible, then it will be no sin upon her, as the Quran says, fala isma alayh. But yet we will suggest she must make tawbah istighfar, because remember that there was, but there might have been some transgressions and so forth. So first will be she must try and get some of her mahram to come and take her from that country and bring her back to South Africa, for example, if they are from South Africa. And if they cannot because of all the logistical problems nowadays, then she on her own must come back, and as a last resort, perhaps she must make tawbah and istighfar. So that will be the fatwa and the verdict in that regard there. But remember, she must count the iddat from the time the husband passed away, not the time she reaches a home. That's a mistake many ladies and many people make.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, a person says, my wife wants to have a New Year's braai. Is this permissible?
Remember that to celebrate New Year and all that is totally haram and not permissible. We must remember we are Muslims, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in various verses in the Noble Quran has warned us. I'll just mention two Quranic verses and two ahadith. Number one is this, Surah 5, Chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse 51. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tattakhidhul yahuda wan nasara awliya. O you who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians to be your friends and your protectors. Ba'duhum awliya ubad. They are the friends and protectors of one another. Wa may yatawallahum minkum fa innahu minhum. Whosoever befriends them, you love them, you love their festival celebrations, you become part and parcel of them. See the wa'id and the warning from Almighty Allah, chapter 5, verse 51. Second one, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us in Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 120. وَلَن تَرْضَى أَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. The Jews, Christians will never be happy with you Muslims until and unless you follow their system, their religion, their customs, festivals. You must leave your Islam, basically, Allah forbid. Then only they will be pleased with you. So remember that death for a Muslim is never an option. And Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's two ahadith, man tashabbaha biqawmin fawa minhum. Whosoever imitates a people becomes part and parcel of them. So why you want to have a braai on this now Friday night and so forth, New Year's Eve and so forth? You can have it on Saturday night, you can have it on Sunday, but no, we want to imitate the non-Muslim culture, so it's not permissible that. Habibuna, and this is authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Musnad Ahmad. Second hadith, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man kassara sawada qawmin fawa minhum. Whosoever increases the numbers of a people, so remember that, then you will be part and parcel of them. The hadith in Musnad Abi Awana. Two ayats of the Quran Sharif, two you must remember ahadith, and two sayings of Sahaba radiallahu anh. Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu giving a fatwa and verdict, ijtanibu a'da Allahi fi eedihim. Stay far, far away from the enemies of Allah during their festivals and celebrations. So if you want the reference, go open Bayhaqi, go open Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's work, Iqtida'u Siratul Mustaqim, wonderful book that is. That way you go mukhalafa against the kuffar and their system and celebrations, you will find that saying of Sayyidina Umar there also. Now you say that the Gregorian year is ending and a new year is starting. So what should we be doing? We should not be having foolish and customs, you know, like the non-Muslims, resolutions and all that nonsense. So we should be reflecting. like reflecting like who? Like him, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that is when the sun used to set daily, his face used to become somber and serious, and he would say, نَقَصَ فِيهِ أَجَلِي وَلَمْ يَزِدْ فِيهِ أَمَلِي. My lifespan is shrinking, and I'm going nearer to my death and grave, and my righteous deeds are not increasing. So that is how a Muslim thinks. Not we have a bash and a jaw and a party and all that. Definitely not permissible.
Mufti Sahab, the next question is, the person says, enjoying the program, it's my anniversary on the 1st of January. Can I celebrate it? I want to have a brain, a khatam, Mufti Sahab.
You must remember, this reminds me of what the poet says in Urdu, Haj ki Kaaba ki bhi, Haj ki Ganga ki bhi, Razi rahe Rahman bhi, Khush rahe Shaitan bhi. So a person went for Hajj to the Baytullah. Thereafter, that same year or sometime in future, he goes to the Ganges River, and that is where the Hindus go to pray and so forth. And remember the idol worshippers, and remember then a person thinks that Allah will be happy. So Razi rahe Rahman bhi, Khush rahe Shaitan bhi. He thinks he's going to please Allah, he's going to please Shaitan. Shaitan, Lucifer will be pleased, definitely. But remember, Allah, never ever will he be pleased. Because we are not part-time Muslims. We must be devoted, dedicated Muslims, all times, all seasons. And remember that nighttime, daytime, privately, publicly. So what you want to do, you're married 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever. You say, chalo, then let's have a braai. So that will please the shaitan. And then we have a khatam also. So that is now to please Allah. So remember, it's not permissible this. That when you get, you can read Quran Sharif anytime. You don't have to wait for your anniversary. Read today, read tomorrow. MashaAllah, Quran we should be reading daily. And second one, braai, because it is New Year's Day and so forth. So you must remember that all this braai story and all, because it's New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, all not permissible. Remember that. We must not imitate the kuffar culture. Stay away from all these things.
Mufti Sahab, the next question is, what is the ruling of a father-in-law with his widowed daughter-in-law?
Remember that here there are three, four situations we need to understand. Number one is Surah 4, Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 23. So that will give you the answer. I am married, Alhamdulillah, and I have a mother-in-law. Wa ummahatun nisa'ikumullati. She passed away, Allah granted Jannatul Firdaus. But for example, we just say she's living. So you must remember, I am mahram for her. So even if somebody's wife passes away, so you, the son-in-law, you will always remain mahram for her, your mother-in-law. Similarly, the Quran Sharif teaches us, وَحَلَائِلُ أَبْنَائِكُمُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِكُمْ. And remember that you, that will be now, the son-in-law of will also be, that is the mahram for the mother-in-law. And you must remember, the father-in-law will be the mahram and for the daughter-in-law. So that also is mentioned in the Quran. Open Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse number 31, and you will find it there. O abaihinna, O abai buulatihinna. So there's it there. Her own biological father, or the father of her husband. So what we call father-in-law. So chapter 24, verse number 31. Now they are living. Husband is there, wife is there, father-in-law is there, mother-in-law is there. Now she, her husband passes away, this lady here. So now she is left with her father-in-law and mother-in-law, or she is left in that home with alone with her father-in-law. So the father-in-law will continue. This is the second scenario. So the father-in-law will always be her mahram. So if there is no hanky-panky business, there is no fear of fitna and so forth, so then she can stay there and live there. There is no problem then. But we know in this day and this age, and it's not something that we are imagining. imagining or just, you understand, thinking about it. No, we know how many incidents took place of this nature, that where the father-in-law, we thought that he's old, but he wasn't cold. He was old, marni kotini. So you must remember, he started and wanted to take advantage of this daughter-in-law, and more so now when she's a widow. So remember, once there's fear of all this, so you must rather move out, you the daughter-in-law, and you go to your parents' place or your brother's place, or he must move out if the house is on your name, and he can't be then staying there. He must go away to his son's place or daughter's place and so forth. So that will be the rule in that case there. Third one, you must remember that this is a very delicate issue. I'm explaining to you. If the father-in-law touches the daughter-in-law and there's lust and passion and so forth, then according to the Hanafis only, remember the nikah of that daughter-in-law and that son, meaning that your father-in-law, you're the woman's father-in-law. So that father-in-law and your husband's father, so you the son and the daughter-in-law, their nikah is broken forever and ever. They can never reconcile. That is called Hurmat Musahara, only according to the Hanafi school. According to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Ambali's, remember where the father-in-law touched the daughter-in-law, remember that with lust and passion and so forth, Allah forbid, Al-Yadu Billah, then remember what he did is haram, he must be exposed, he must be punished, but the nikah of the son and daughter-in-law will still be valid. So we need to understand all these issues properly and thoroughly.
Mufti Sahib, a person says, I want to get married, Mufti Sahib, but I don't have money to feed. What's the cheapest form of nikah?
Remember, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna a'daman nikahi baraka aisaruhu ma'una," that the best nikah is that where there is the least expenditure. If you want to have a nikah now for 100 and 200 and 500 people, and it's going to cost you 100, 200, 500,000, so obviously you won't have that money. But if you just call 5 people, 10 people, and you announce the nikah, and you tell them, or you tell us, mashallah, that you are getting married this weekend, so Fridays we have a program, Mona Zahid will announce it this week inshallah, between 10 and 10:30 inshallah. So in a case like that you to announce the nikah, and you say in this masjid your nikah is taking place, and you allow, you invite 5-10 people, the girl is happy, her father is happy, so fine, the nikah is done. The problem today is we want to do things riya and wasum'a, to impress the eyes of people and the ears of people. Therefore, there's no barakah left, that everything is for showing, for off, and for name, and for fame. So do that, my brother, and get married. And Quran says, إِيَّكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ, that if they are poor, Almighty Allah will enrich you through His grace and mercy. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us guidelines already. Inna the least expenditure, the greatest barakah, there will be blessing, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, I just gave you his incident now. When the son used to set, what he used to say, he was faqihu hadhil ummah, one of the great muftis of this ummah. He used to say, iltamisul ghina fin nikah. The fatwa of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is mentioned in Sunan Sa'id bin Mansur. Search for richness in nikah. When you bring somebody's daughter to your house, you are sincere, you want to lead a pure and a chaste lifestyle, Allah Jalla Wala will give you so much barakah and wealth. But we must always know that it must be wealth that is obtained and attained through halal means, not through haram method and manner. No, it must be fi halalan tayyiba, that which is lawful and pure and wholesome.
Mufti Sahab, the next question is, what is the ruling with regards to cousins? I heard we can't talk to them. We have a close interaction like brotherly sister bond. We shake hands and hug them with no feelings.
Remember that all this is totally haram. Today they say, no, this is my cousin and this is my, you understand, it's like my brother, it's like my sister. They shake hands, they hug one another, they kiss one another. All this from A to Z, totally haram. Let me give you one, two examples. I'm a brother and I have my brother. I'm a brother and I have a sister. So my son and their daughter, my brother's daughter or my sister's daughter. So my son and now their daughter, so meaning my nephew or my niece and so forth. So now what they do, that they meet and they shake hands and they laugh and they joke and they even will hug and embrace and kiss one another. Since when all that is halal, totally haram that is, remember this, can my son marry my niece, the father's niece, my sister's daughter, my brother's daughter? Obviously my son can marry her. So they are total ajanib, they are total strangers for one another. But because the Western society has entered our minds and our hearts, we eroded the law of hijab and taqwa and threw it away, and now we want to adopt that society. And then we see things start happening between the cousins and so forth. There's no such thing, you can touch her, kiss her, embrace her, and nothing will happen. When you put butter next to the stove, you know what will happen. So something definitely is going to happen. That is the waswasa and whisperings of shaitan. No, he is just like my brother, she is just like my sister, and so forth. So that is the deception of the Satan, of Lucifer and shaitan. So therefore, you youngsters and your parents, you must bring this to the attention. Remember, Islam, I give you two laws which will shock many people. See, I, my father, and my father's brother, my kaka, my chacha, my my paternal uncle, right? So I have a father, he passed away, Allah give Jannatul Firdaus. I have a kaka, he passed away now in his 90s, Allah ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. So now, when I go and visit my chacha, my uncle, pass a brur, may and my paternal uncle, Al-Am, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Ammu sinwu abi, that the paternal uncle, the kaka, the chacha, will take the place of the father. His wife, the chachi, the paternal uncle's wife, and me, I'm the nephew, isn't it so? So I'm the nephew to my uncle. I can't shake hand with her. I can't embrace her. She can't embrace me. That's different things. Sometimes our family members, they do it. That is our custom, because we say they're 70, 60, 80 years old, and they make my father or like my mother. That is our custom. That's wrong. So for me and my chachi, for me and my kaki, for me and my paternal uncle's wife, they also, you can't shake hand and embrace and all these things here. Let alone now we got cousins doing all this. One example. And people just take that for granted. So there's parda, compulsory, between nephew, that is like the example I gave you, my father's brother, so my paternal uncle, my chacha, my kaka, and remember his wife, so the kaki, the ma, so there, remember that it will be compulsory between me and her to make parda and so forth. So that's one. Second one, my mother's brother. So what we call Mamaji, Mamu, and his wife. So the Mami, so my mother's brother's wife. So the Mami. So remember, so the Mamaji's wife, the Mamu's wife, and so forth. So between me and her, I can't shake hand with her. She cannot shake hand with me. And we can't embrace one another. She can be old or whatever. Still, you must remember. So we need to understand Islam has brought all these laws. Why? No physical contact. Why? ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِكُمْ qulubihin. It's purer for your heart and it's purer for their heart as well. We shake hands, we laugh, we embrace, and then we make a joke, then we share the cell numbers, then we start sending WhatsApp messages, then it becomes a joke, then we start sending rude messages. Where all this will end up? So when Islam wants to solve a problem, Islam solves it right in the roots. It nips it in the bud. Now you see the kuffar Western system, they have a real pandemic. Where's the pandemic? AIDS. Now you see, they don't know what to do. You take South Africa, you take Swaziland, you take the world. So they say, give everybody one condom, and that will solve the problem. That you call the condom mentality. You want to solve the problem from the top. You don't want to come right at the roots. So you must go right to the bottom. And so they take drunkenness. They're drunk, you know, in Afrikaans, they say. That South Africa, let the school start. I'm telling you, I told you already 1 month ago, that there will be the death of people died over 1,000. When you break it down, majority died because of, you see, the masters of euphemism. They will say substance abuse. Simple terms, the drunky, because they were drunk, intoxicated, you know, remember. So people want to, you find sometimes the police is drunk, sometimes the judge is drunk, sometimes the people are drunk, and so forth. So they promote all these things, yeah, but they will tell you, no, drink little bit and then don't drive. You must remember that. So how that can work? Islam came with a unique system and said, ma askara kathiruhu faqaliluhu haram. What intoxicates in large quantities, remember, one drop of it also is haram. Kullu muskirin khamrun, and everything that intoxicates now or in the future is haram, is khamr, is alcohol, intoxicant. So all these hadith you will find in Mishkat Sharif. So we need to understand how Islam works and not the kuffar system works. The kuffar system is a satanic system. We must understand that. Look at this pandemic. Same thing you will find. So now you see that the planes are being cancelled and Israel, the rogue regime, today's Haaretz I read, or yesterday's it was, or today's, they're going for their third booster and fourth booster. I got one suggestion for you, that you Jutla's day in Israel, the next one you must give is one rooster, and you understand, and maybe that will help you all. I told you, you don't listen to me, that you must remember that chapter 7 verse 167, Allah said, wa idh ta'adhana rabbuka layab'athanna alayhim ila yawmil qiyamati man yasumhum su'al adhab. Allah will continue punishing you right till the day of justice, because you are hated by Allah because of your deeds and your actions, and the whole world can see what you are doing and so forth. So therefore, always juxtapose, compare what Islam says and what the West and the Kufar system says, and you will see the Kufar system is always based on deception and on hypocrisy and based on lies and so forth and so on.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program and we welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Mufti Sahab, the next question here is, I just wanted to know if a husband keeps on telling his wife to go because she's sickly, and he tells people he will leave her because she's fat and she's dirty.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Let us analyze this situation. When you married her, then you went with such hopes and aspirations, you proposed for her and so forth and so on. Now 5 years, 10 years down the marriage, now maybe she gave birth to 2-3 children. So obviously she won't remain slim and trim and all these type of things. So her body will go through various changes and so forth. So that's something normal. So you can't blame her for things that are not within her control. Yes, if she leaves the house untidy or something, so that you can complain. But remember, it's strange that only after 5-10 years, then you start complaining. And then you say she's sickly. Nobody gets sick on their own. Remember that. And nobody wishes to be sick. Everybody wants a healthy, wealthy life, you know. And they want to live life to its full and so forth. So therefore, for you to threaten her and so forth, remember, if your son-in-law had to do that to your daughter, what will you say? You will say, how come he's so unfair and unjust and he's a tin-pot dictator, and so many words you will use. But for yourself, you want to justify it and so forth. So that is not right. So what you'll both need to do, understand marriage is a partnership. I always tell you this, and not a dictatorship, as many Muslim husbands think. So what you must do is that in dukh and sukh, in happiness, prosperity, adversity, sadness, grief, all you must be together. If you, the husband, give your wife some comfort, some advices, stand with her, half a battle will be won. But instead of helping her, she is sick, right? Now you tell her, yeah, you sick every day, I'm fed up of you and you must go and so forth. So definitely, psychologically, she will feel totally, even if she was on the road to recovery, so she will go, instead of positive, she'll go into a negative. So therefore, brother, what you are doing is totally unacceptable. Quran Kareem commands me and you and every husband throughout the world. Surah chapter 4, verse 19, 1-9. وَآشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with justice, with love, with respect, and so forth. So you can't say now, it's your children, that yeah, you've gone fat and you thus and thus and all this type of thing. But you wanted your joy, you wanted your enjoyment and so forth. وَلَا تَنْسَهُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. See the Quran. Quran speaks of this when people are speaking of divorce and so forth. Don't forget the grace of Allah upon you. What about all the extra things she did for you? Suddenly you forgot all that. So people today, remember, they only look at things normally from one side, and especially when they upset and so forth. So that's what you are doing. Islam says, no, you husband, you must look at it, how many times your wife went extra, and you wife, you must look that how many times the husband did extra things and so forth. So that is what Islam teaches us. So each one of you, play your role, turn more and more to Almighty Allah. You, my sister, you are ill and sick, read Surah 21, verse 83, in the 17th Juz, 17th Supara, and that is the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu salam, Anni massaniya durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. A calamity has struck me, and you, Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. Then just after that, Surah 21, same Surah, Surah Anbiya, the prophets and messengers, peace be upon them, verse 87, the dua of Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, an la ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. One is you are not feeling well, you ill. Second, your husband is making all the derogatory remarks, unsavory statements and so forth. So you are going through worry, sorry, anxiety. So read abundantly, la ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Read ya salamu, the attribute and mubarak, blessed, honorable name of Almighty Allah. Give out charity as well, daily, sister, even if it is 20 cents, 50 cents, 1 rand. So whether it's in cash or kind, a packet of birth cards or whatever. So you practice on the hadith of Mustafa rahmatul lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'u mardakum bisadaqah. Imam Abu Dawood has mentioned this in his marasil. So give medicare, give sadaqah and charity for the people who are ill. Allah will give us siha and afia and goodness and so forth. So many things we can do. But you, husband, you need to be much more, you know, understanding, compassionate to your wife and so forth. And instead of making her come out of the negativity to positivity, you taking her and making her double negative, if you look at it. You understand? She is ill and sick, and then with your negative commands, you will go make her worse. And now you look for excuse and threaten her. No, I will leave her and I'll do this and do that. So all that Islamically is not permissible, and you become a zalim and a tinpot dictator.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, the person says, the female says, my husband is unemployed from last year March, and he just lays in bed 24/7 on his phone while I'm carrying on with all housework. I have severe arthritis in my knees with no help from all. We fight all the time. I can't handle it anymore, Mufti Saab.
Yes, it means there are two dates for us South Africans you must remember. In 1994, 27 April was the first democratic elections. So that you must always remember. What they call nowadays Freedom Day. And then 27 March 2020 was when the hard lockdown. So it was a Friday. I can't forget that. So you must remember when it started and so forth. So from that time till now, 21 months or whatever is gone, husband sitting on his laurels, thinking of Hadi, playing with TikTok and playing with his phone and so forth. Instead of going to go and wash people's cars, to go and clean people's gardens, to go and do some job like that, clean dishes, whatever it is, it's much more noble than sitting on your laurels and thinking of Hadi and playing with your phone. Your wife is 100% justified in complaining, and you are totally in haram, brother, just sitting there and sleeping and playing and all that. So in Islam, the man, the husband, the father, he has to be the breadwinner, not the other way around. So if I ask you how you're surviving the past 20 months and so forth, so the wife will say she's doing all the work and she's using her savings and so forth and so on. So you must tell him it's a loan to him, and every month how much you spend, remember he has to repay you, reimburse you, because it's a duty of the husband that he must pay for all the expenses, not the wife must pay. Even if she's a millionaireess, Islam never says that she must pay. If she spends anything on her own, lovingly, willingly, sincerely, that's a prerogative, but it's not compulsory upon her. So your husband in a case like that, totally wrong, unjustified, get off that bed and become a man, not a mouse now, and just sit there and there like a baila, you know, just sit at home and this type of thing. So no, Islam say we must be proactive, remember that.
Mufti Saab, a person says, I love tabligh, but my husband keeps on going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm alone at home without a mahram. What should I do, as I don't know what's correct?
Remember, the work of Dawat Tabligh is the best work that took place for the Ummah in the past century. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Nawwarullah Marqada, who started this work 1925-1926 around there in Mewat and so forth, and mashallah, millions of people just today. Somebody sent me and said, look at these Malaysians, that they were now people, you know, with the scooters and the motorbikes and so forth, and their body were filled with tattoos and so forth. They were like gangster type, and 8 or 9 of them. Today you look at them, mashallah, they got their kurta on, they got their turban on, they're making dawah, tabligh and so forth. So just today somebody sent it to me. So you must remember that millions, not thousands, believe you me, that I travel to many, many countries. It's the barakat of the work of Dawat Tabligh that thousands and millions of people have changed their lives for the better. You take in South Africa, how many Darulums there are. So 90%, 80% of the Darulums in South Africa, directly, indirectly, are the result of the Tabligh Jamaat. So therefore, we say what the Saudi criminals did and Murtads did. So remember MBS and so forth. So Murtad bin Shaitan, by banning Tabligh Jamaat, you have just hastened your own destruction. Remember that. So the Tabligh Jamaat has done great, great work. However, sometimes people forget the conditions and so forth. Monday night, Gersh, second Tuesday night, Mashura, Wednesday night, then another something they'll have, you understand? Meet the Khas people, then Thursday does, then Friday night, Shab Guzari and so forth. So you must make a timetable that you must spend time with your wife and children. You can't be saying, no, I'm doing Allah's work, and in the process, you're trampling on the rights of your wife, you're trampling on the rights of your children. All that is haram also. So you, brother, you must understand, what is our deen? Our deen is hukukullah and hukukul ibad. So sometimes, some brothers, that they go beyond beyond the limit, so that is wrong. What is right is right, and what is wrong is wrong. I told you the work of Dawud Tabligh, the best work, excellent. But some people, they don't know the usuls, or they don't want to practice on the principles, and then is you cause bigger problem, because now it will come on the radio, it will go on social media, and thus, and so forth, and so on. So instead of doing the Dawud work, now people start become negative to it, because you made hulu. Hulu means at-tajawuz anil hudud. You go beyond the limits. Ya ahl al-kitab, la taghlu fi dinikum. O people of the book. So it refers primarily to Jews, Christians, but the verse is for us also. The Quran Sharif is for all times, all places, all circumstances. Do not go beyond the limits and so forth. So in your deen, in your religion, one person say, I love Allah so much, so Maghrib Salat, I won't read 3 rakats, I'll read 4 rakats. So what you will say? Everybody will say is null and void. So similarly here also, you must fulfill that you pray P-R-A-Y to Allah, and do not pray P-R-E-Y on the creation of Allah, more so your wife and your children and so forth. Khayr, wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof, Surah 4 verse 19, an authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. Our mother Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reports that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khayrukum khayrukum li ahalikum wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best of you are the best of you for your wives and your children, and I, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am the best to my wives and my children. So it shows that is the noble uswa hasana, the example of the master alayhi salatu wa sallam.
Mufti Sahib, a person says, my uncle is 60 years of age and he wants to marry a 23-year-old green-eyed girl. This is his secretary, and I keep on advising him, but he doesn't listen.
So first and foremost, to have a secretary like that, so it's all haram. So they're alone in the office, and therefore they call her secretary. Lot of secret this business is going on. Unda danda, we call. You understood? Not only money matters, some other matters also are going on and so forth. So we don't know the whole story. Does he have a wife? Doesn't he have a wife? He doesn't want to take her as a second wife and so forth. So she will milk you, brother, properly. And when your account is finished, then you must remember she will go and find somebody else. And she won't marry you just like that. She will tell you, put a house, put a car, put money in my account and so forth. But you are now 60 years old. One leg in the grave already. But now you say, I tobohari lage. See, she's a bombshell. Look at the green eyes. Maybe it's not even green eyes. Maybe she's wearing that contact lenses, you know. Today, people can deceive you. But let's say it's green eyes natural. Then she will dye her hair and so forth. Look a little bit brownish, blondish, all that. And she's alone with you. You alone with her. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith. La yakhluwanna rajulun bimratin illa wa thalithuma ash-shaytan. Never is there a strange man and a strange woman alone, but the third party there is shaitan. So the shaitan, the hadith is authentic in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. So the shaitan comes to you, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Shaitan will say, you know, get married to her. That, and you are rich and she's not so rich. So you can practice on the sunnah. Then he will tell you about sunnah. He's not telling of all the haram you're doing before that. And if they can, you know, you can get married second time, it's also sunnah. So all these ideas comes. So you know the surah, you waswisu fi sudurin nas min al jinnati wan nas. Thus you call the waswasa, the whisperings of shaitan, fi sudurin nas, in the hearts and minds of people, min al jinnati wan nas. First thing, you must terminate her, pay her whatever you owe her, and tell her to go. For her to be your secretary and so forth, all haram, not permissible. Second one, you got your wife, you go back to her, apologize to her, and tell her it was a moment of madness on your part and weakness, and therefore you are asking Allah for forgiveness, and you're asking her also for forgiveness. And third one, if you continue, then remember, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamities befall you, it's because of your own deeds, your own action. There's an action and reaction. So Allah has a system, brother. We don't know you. We don't know your young ta today in your office. So you must remember, but I'm giving you brotherly advice. وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاسِحِينَ Anbiya, prophets and messengers used to tell people, we're giving you sincere advice, but majority of you don't like the advice. And how true it is today, same thing you see.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, a person says one or two ulama of the Shafi madhab use the miswak before Faraz Salah. Please explain.
Yes, 100% is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Lawla an ashqa la ummati la amartum bisiwaki inda kulli salatin. So remember that to use the miswak before salat is sunnah, and to use it before hudu, during hudu, that also is sunnah. So now this is but academic discussion. If you go to Bukhari Sharif, you will find he brought the hadith of miswak before salat, that is muttasilan, that is marfu'an with a chain and everything. And he mentioned about miswak before wudu and so forth, a ta'liq, no chain of transmission, to show that also you should do. If you go to the muhaqqiqeen, if you go to those ulama who are the giants of the school, so Ibn Humam rahimahullah, Fathul Qadir of Hidayah and so forth, so he wrote the commentary of it, and he was a giant of the Hanafi school, so he wrote for the Hanafis, both are sunnah, that you make miswak wudu time and you make miswaks that salat time. But more emphasized is that wudu time. So that's how he made tawfiq and tadbiq, he reconciled it. Imam Allama Nawawi rahimahullah, who I told you many times, a'lam bi madhhab Shafi'i ya ba'd al Imam Shafi'i, the greatest scholar of the Shafi'i school after Imam Shafi'i. And it's not only Imam Shafi'i says, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. If you see the imams of the haram, sometimes you find our South Africans or people is simple, because they're standing far, pre-COVID and so forth, the crowd is big, 1 million people. You see, what's wrong with the imam? He's coming out, he got like a cigarette in his mouth. So he got miswak in his mouth, but he keeps it in his mouth like that, but he's making miswak, So he say, no, it looks like a cigarette. I say, Papa, he's got a miswak, what cigarette and so forth. So cigarette is haram. So remember, there's 100% sunnah. So Allama Nawawi rahimahullah said the similar thing, that is sunnah for the Shafi'is to use the miswak and the siwak when? By the time of wudu and salat. But more emphasized during the time of salat. So today, whether you Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, you use the miswak, that wudu time, salat time, we will encourage it 100%. It's very good to do so.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, a person says, is it necessary to cover the head when entering the toilet?
Remember, it's a sunnah. So when you go to the toilet and so forth, you know the dua, Bismillah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Can we see the shayateen and the jinnats? No, we can't see them. Can they hear? Can they see us? Yes, they can see us. But can they see our weapon? No, they can't see our weapon. Ad-du'a'u silahul mu'min. Our du'as, our supplication are the weapon of the true believer. So therefore, before we enter with the left foot, we will read Bismillah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. In the name of Allah, O Allah, I seek your protection from the male and female shayateen and jinnat and so forth. So when you go there, you're half naked before you ever entered. So now you're playing straight into the hands of shaitan. See, I teach you a lesson here. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us in the noble Quran that Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, Sayyidah Hawa radiallahu anha, they are there in Jannah and paradise, Adam and Eve. For those of you who don't understand our Islamic terminology, they were 100% enjoying themselves. But Almighty Allah mentioned one proviso, one condition. Wala taqrabah hadhi hadhi shajara, don't go near that tree, because fatakuna min al-zalimin, and then you will become the wrongdoers. Anbiya, prophets and messengers are ma'asum, are protected from vices and sins. And if they made a mistake is different and sin is different. So they were enjoying themselves. Yet the shaitan came. He told them, I am your well-wisher, and if you eat from the tree, then what will happen? Then you will stay here forever and so forth. So Almighty Allah teaches us, فَنَسِيَ آدَمُ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ أَزْمَى. He totally forgot about the prohibition. And both of them, Quran says, فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَ. Both of them, they tasted and they ate from the tree. بَدَدْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. So their shame, private, became apparent. وَتَفِقَى, meaning the clothing started falling off. وَتَفِقَى يَخْسِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِيُ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. And they started covering upon themselves with the leaves of Jannah, the trees that were there and so forth. So read chapter 7, Surah A'raf, and verses 17, 18, right up to 23, 24, and you will find everything. So when the Western culture and fashion comes, people today have a passion for fashion. Remember that. The passion for fashion. So now it's summertime, so the dress must get shorter, 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 so the miniskirt. Then they will go to the resort, and they'll go to the beach, and here and there, then everything comes off. Now go with the bikini and stikini and so forth. Kala also is busy. Uncle also is busy. So you must remember, how many examples we know. So people ask me questions, they say we had this resort and this resort. So you must, they even take the name and so forth. Allah forbid. So when we are Muslim, and we are Muslim, then the more clothing we have, then we are protecting ourselves more and more from the assault and attack from shaitan. And the less we wear, remember, then we opening up ourselves for the assault and attack of shaitan. So therefore, 100% is sunnah that when you go to the toilet, you, the ladies, wear your scarf and so forth, and the men, you wear the head. I give you one quick story, because I know 90% don't know. If you study the lives of the akabir of the awliyaullah, the Madar Zad Wali, the sage of the age, Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, he was Waliullah, sage of the age. He passed away on a Friday in 1992. So if you ask anybody who knew Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Ji Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, Hazrat Ji, he means Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib, Hazrat Ji Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, when he would take a bath, as soon as he would come out, first thing, now he would put the hat on, meaning that he dried himself, and now he wants to wear the clothing, he'll wear the ijar, all that, and shilwar, whatever, and then the hat he will put on. He didn't want that the head Mubarak must remain exposed even for 1-2 extra minutes and so forth. So that was the love they had and respect they had for Almighty Allah. So that is what we need to learn as well. We end off with the beautiful poem, Ma faza man faza illa bi الأدبي وما سقط من سقط إلا بسوء الأدبي ما فاز من فاز إلا بالأدبي. No one is successful, but remember, when he has adab and respect for Quran, for Sunnah, for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for Islam. And no person falls and is a failure. وما سقط من سقط إلا بسوء الأدبي. When there is disrespect and so forth. So that is what we should be learning. Quickly, let me give you the rundown before the news, inshallah. So the news with Brother Yusuf Ali at 12, and then after that wonderful talk by Maulana Dawood Siddat, wishing non-Muslims, you know, that happy with you year and what have you and all that. So that will be between 12 and 1, inshallah. 1 o'clock Adhan, 105 to 130, Surah Taha, chapter 20, verses 83 to 89. Then 130 to 2, Surah Bani Israel. So this is a new surah we are starting, and that is chapter 17, the beginning of the 15th Jews, and verses 1 to 3. Then from 2 to 10, that is 130 to 2, from the archives. 2 to 3, Madrasa on Amon Azahid Khan. 3 to 4, today there will not be an Urdu lecture. So 3 o'clock, there will be news by Brother Suleiman Esop, and then the Q&A, because the Q&A is long, it will go right till 4 o'clock, inshallah, and no Urdu lecture there. Then 4 to 5, Surah Ahqaf, Maulana Ridwan Gaji, and that is chapter 46 of the Noble Quran. And then 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7.30, the repeat of my tafsir, Surah Taha, verses 83 to 89. 7.30 to 8 will be Maulana Yunus Patel's advices. 8 to 10, Brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan, and that is month after dinner. And 10 to 11 will be Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki, Shaheed. So wonderful lineup. Make dua for us and the Ummah. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We say Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba. We head on for the news now. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.